This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Frank Castagnetti of New Hope East Hawaii. Today's message, entitled How Are We Praying, was delivered on October 18th, 2020. Here now is Pastor Frank.
Places. But thank you, worship team. Yeah, you know, it was, I didn't look at what the lineup was for the songs today, and it was, It's interesting that it fell right in line with part of where my message is today about praying. So I'll reference some of that part there. But I wanted to get through a few announcements. Everybody should have their bulletins. So in your bulletins, right, I want to remind you that we have a tear-off. It's kind of a communication slip. It lets you communicate with the leadership team on things that you may need, especially for prayer. And also praise requests, please put them in there and let us know what's going on and how we might be able to pray for you. Also on the, Myra, are the daily breads by you? Okay, on the front table, we have the daily bread. These come out, they're about a three-month kind of a daily bread devotional. I encourage you to grab one of those on your way out if you haven't already. Another good supplement to our daily readings. So I encourage you folks to grab onto those. Also, two announcements, so just reminders, essentially. Men's ministry, 2nd and 4th, Saturdays, 5:30 right here, unless we might have to move sometimes to one of the other sides on the campus. And women's ministry is every Saturday morning, 7:30 on Zoom. And the link for that, if you go to the church website, you go to women's ministry, you scroll down to the bottom of that part, Jen Arcatola's contact information is there. There's her phone number and her email, and then she sends out the Zoom link to you. So let her know you want to participate, and that way she can put you in that that email blast to get you in there. Okay, the other thing we'll do remember one of the trivia questions was really like bold and in our face on how we're cheating with our Father, because He expects us, He commands us to tithe. And it's not because He needs the money. He don't. He could tell us, give you 90% and we live on 10 and He'd make it happen. But we want to make sure we're faithful in this commandment, because God will bless that. I know it sounds really hard if you've had a struggle with it, and we all have at times. We've all had times where we've given nothing. And that's all right if your heart is square with that. But there's times where we know we've been like, if I don't do this and I do that, I can get this or pay that. And that's understandable. God knows your heart with that. But He asks us to do that because, not that He needs the money. He wants to do miraculous things in our obedience to Him. And for me, my challenge would be, if you tithe faithfully, you will not miss that money. I know when you look at it at the end of the year and you're doing the taxes, you go, holy Lord, what I could have done. Which is true, that's fine. That's fine. But then answer that follow-up question. But what did God do? You won't miss that money, meaning your bills will be paid, right? If it's God's will, it's God's bill. That's it, period. You stay faithful to that. God takes care. So for us, though, we have three ways to give. You can text NHHI to 808-793-5588. Online giving at www.newhopeeasthawaii.com. Snail mail, old style. Please don't lick the stamps. I'm just joking. NHEHHCR2, box 6617, KL 96749. Also, if you're going to write out a bombastic check, there's that little blue acrylic box back there. I'm pointing through you, Walt and Vivian. It's back there. It's a little blue acrylic box. You can put not only the tear-off slip or a note, I don't know, whatever you've got, if you need to communicate with us. And your tithes can go in that box back there. Alrighty. Let's pray for the tithes and offerings. Father God, You see the conditions of our heart, Lord, and You see that when we open up Your checkbook and Your checking account, Lord, that we tithe faithfully to You. We ask You to bless these tithes and offerings, Lord God, that You take them to Your storehouse, and that You multiply those, Lord, and that You bless the cheerful giver. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Alrighty. I think I'm on track. Pastor Scott, I didn't miss anything, yeah? I got a thumbs up. Okay, that's a true. Alrighty. Hey, so before I start, I'm talking about how are we praying. And it's a Bunny Trails in Being, and I was in a weird mood when I wrote this thing, so I might have a lot of apologies and please forgive me in this. But it was interesting. My wife and I were watching TV yesterday, one of the things in between, and I don't know if it was on Huckabee or Joyce Myers was on, and she was promoting her new book called Do It Afraid. I have no idea what the book's about. I have a hard time reading a lot of those books because they're so thick, and I just want to get like the Cliff's Notes version so I can just get right in there. But she said something about we're going to do things, and we're going to do it because we'll still be afraid. That's not the point. Courage isn't the absence of being afraid or the absence of fear. It's doing what needs to be done in the midst of that, right? And Scripture tells us that we're not giving a condition or a heart or a spirit of fear. We can be fearful. I'm fearful all the time, quite a bit. Lean into God. That's what this is about. So I wanted to just reference that. I know Joyce Myers and her writings are quite powerful, but Do It Afraid is kind of that little, you know, Nike-ish kind of do it. Do it afraid, which means whatever you're going to face today, this afternoon, this week, or just stands up and punches you in the nose out of the blue, do it afraid. But don't be fearful, because God's got it. It's there for a reason. I don't know what the reason is. We'll talk about that in praying. Also today on the drive-in, we're listening to Caleb on the radio, and they were talking about prayer. I don't know who heard it this morning. They were talking about, in this time, people praying for things and what prayers are answered and what aren't. Why does this kid get healed of cancer? This one didn't. Why did this business go under and this one's surviving? And I don't have the answer to that, so don't ask me. And I'm not going to be, you know, sarcastic and go, you know, it's God's will, even though that's the truth. But I think the number one thing to remember when we pray is that prayer is not for God, it's for us. And prayer is meant to draw us to Him, right? He's greater than the fear. The courage overcomes the fear. And we pray to bring us to Him and in alignment with His plan, not God, I need this because this is my plan, yeah? And He'll correct us with that gently and lovingly, but I just wanted to put that out there. All right, so we'll start off here. How are we praying? Wow, that's beautiful. I got to thank Lena because I know she's not here, and she basically saved my acoli because there was a couple of errors in here because I didn't proofread it good enough. So shout out to Lena for helping me with that. I appreciate it greatly. All right. I'm going with the belief that we are all praying, each one of us. I'm also going to believe that we're constantly praying. Scripture tells us to do this. This can be intercession prayers, asking for His wisdom or His protection or His comfort. We also include prayers that are more like a conversation with our Savior, talking with Him throughout the day. I do that a lot outside of just that devotion time. I talk with Him. And I'm going to share some of the biblical supports for a healthy prayer life. And along the way, I want to provide some alternatives or poor examples of a prayer life that has gone askew. So we'll start with something easy and well known. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you, in 1 Thessalonians. So you fill in is pray without ceasing. And that's my reference of I'm always in a, I frequently throughout the day, constantly, ongoing, having a conversation with God, asking Him questions, just listening, trying to listen. Yeah, the still, small, quiet voice is the Lord speaking to us and ministering. So with this reference, Paul in chapter 5 of his first letter to the Thessalonians, which is in northern Greece now today, he instructed them to pray without ceasing. And this is part of what Paul gave as his final instructions to the church at Thessalonica regarding roles and responsibilities within the church. And that how we as believers should be interacting with each other and those around us, as well as our orientation towards prayer. Praying without ceasing. And some people they might be on their knees in their prayer closet, constantly praying. And there are prayer warriors out there that is their calling and that is their life. And they are literally just in a quiet space on their knees praying. For me, there's the sum of that time, but a lot of it, like I said, it's conversational. It's throughout my day as I'm going. If I get a call on the phone, hey, Lord, I don't know what's going on. I'm heading up to this classroom. I have no idea what I'm walking into, but, you know, make this way, figure it out for this student and for this class. I'm driving home. It's like, all right, leave that stuff behind. Let's figure out what's going on at home, what my wife may or may not have going on, where we're going for this afternoon, those kinds of prayers. But I like this directive, pray without ceasing. It fits perfectly into one of my kind of operational principles, and I know you folks know this, KISS, K-I-S-S. We know what that means, right? Keep it simple, and then there's that, you know, the kind word in there. But we can substitute it with silly. Keep it simple, silly. It's a simple meaning. It's straightforward. It's understandable. And I understand this right away. There's no real gray area for me to hide in. No room to delay or to procrastinate. I can speak about procrastination later because it's a skill that I'm pretty good at. But it doesn't really serve me well, even though it's well honed. But the KISS principle helps me when it comes to my prayer life. Pray without ceasing. I get that. I'm just going to keep going and praying. But I want to make sure that we understand, though it's a simple instruction, pray without ceasing, how many of us are following that? I mean, we pray a lot. I see the heads nodding and going, yes. So I know we're praying a lot. We pray when things are challenging to us. Amen? And we pray when we shout for joy and give God glory. We did that when we were singing this morning. So we praise the Lord with that. Worship is prayer. And we know we sing our favorite songs in the car or in the shower or, I don't know, you might be brave and in KTA and just singing along. Good for you. Keep doing it. So we must be doing well in following Paul's instructions. I would pray. I would hope. But moving on here, if we can pray without ceasing, we're doing well. Luke recounts, not Skywalker, the apostle, recounts Jesus using parables to teach various lessons. In Luke 18, he speaks about the persistent widow, which teaches us about persistence in our prayer life. But I want us to look at something that we should avoid in our prayer life, which is the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. So here, to some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on others, on everyone else, Jesus told the parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other the tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed out loud, God, I thank you that I'm not like the other people, the robber, the evildoer, the adulterer, or even this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all I get. That was his prayer. But remember what the tax collector went on to say. So if we're honest with ourselves, we get this because we've prayed like this before. I know I have. Yeah, I may be doing this, but I'm not doing that. I'm okay. Check. I'm fine. We all do that. And I think part of that is just our human nature. We are competitive and we compare. And that's one of the big sins that we have is comparison. We don't want to be doing that to our nature. But our belief is our righteousness that results in our looking down on others. And if we do that, we're in a very, very bad place. We start to partake of that bitter drink of the comparison. This is a favorite tool of this fallen world and of the devil. Comparison sets up opposing positions with one having dominance and acceptance and approval on the other. It's a perfect recipe for our prayer life, isn't it? Right? Certainly. What I've done counts for something. I must have some leverage to bolster what I'm ever so humbly asking for. After all, I'm not like that person over there. I'm not like that Christian over there. We know how it goes. God, answer my prayers, please, because I have, fill in the blank, and that's worthy of reward. Now, you know, Lord, Honestly, I'm nowhere bad as the other guy. Comparison. It is that bitter drink. But all my sarcasm aside, Luke provides a great example of what not to do in our prayer life. Now, my warning here is to make sure that we're aware that the devil is crafty and sneaky. And I find myself needing to stand guard and be aware of what is running through my head as I frequently start to see those first bits of comparison coming out. I think our brain is wired this way, and that's why we need to be smart and diligent in what we're doing. But let us be encouraged as the next verse describes a truly humble heart in the tax collector. We have all sinned, and I suggest we ponder and reflect on the point that while we have sinned, that we ask for mercy. So let's start there. The Pharisee is, I'm going to go a little bit on my bunny trail here. The Pharisee is like McGivens McTwist, the white rabbit in Alice in Wonderland. Nivens operates in a land of fruitless trails, in a world of fantasy and make-believe that is bordering on the psychotic. While a rabbit hole in and of itself isn't the problem, what it can represent does. The Pharisee believed he was better because he was a religious leader, he followed the prescribed religious laws, and was not a criminal. His rabbit hole is a lifestyle that is caught up in his own righteousness, where he fails to see his own hypocrisy in his lack of humility and a false sense of his servanthood. Another fine example of this rabbit hole theory was found in the modern film series The Matrix. Here we find Neo, a dedicated and hard worker who's caught up in a constant battle of wonder about his reality and his truth. And he seeks answers. And eventually a person reaches out with an offer of clarity. The initial instruction is to follow the white rabbit, to which was the white rabbit tattoo on the girl's shoulder. So Neo goes along, follows the white rabbit to a club, when he's met by Trinity, who eventually introduces Morpheus. Neo knew of Morpheus, he hadn't met him. And then Morpheus offers Neo a choice between that red and blue pill. Now in the Matrix, the red pill represented an uncertain future, similar to what we might experience here on Earth and what our life will be like. If we conform and we can get by nicely with everyone else around us, but the red pill also frees Neo from enslaving control of the machine-generated dreamlike world, the Matrix. In Morpheus's other hand is that blue pill. It represents a beautiful prison, one that's filled with a confined but prescribed comfort, large doses of ignorance, and no threat of reality, right? In the Matrix, the world was going along, there weren't any problems, you had your job, you did your work, things were fine. But as Morpheus described it, you take the blue pill, the story ends, you wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill, you stay in Wonderland, and I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes. Of course, we know Neo chose the red pill, and he joins the rebellion, and then the series is launched. But ultimately, rabbit holes place us into a free-fall world of constant distractions without a clear destination, my friends, with all types of strange things flying by. You remember in Alice in Wonderland, as she's going down that rabbit hole, everything's just kind of zipping by. It might pause and go, but it's just flying past. We don't want to be overconfident in our self-righteousness, nor do we want to look down upon others from a position of self-appointed superiority by our works and by our deeds. Remember that the tax collector asked for mercy. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. That's all he said. He probably still remained a tax collector. He still did his job effectively and efficiently, I would believe. Penalty of death in Rome. He probably did his job very well, but he knew he was a sinner, and he knew he couldn't get mercy from his workplace. He could only get it from God. So our last warning for today, For the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. This is out of 1 Peter 3:12 in the New International Version. There's a standard embedded in this scripture, my friends. Our Father will look upon the righteous and will open his ears to their prayer. The qualifier has been added to prayer. There's a qualifier, and that is the heart of the righteous. And what does that mean exactly? Well, let's look back a couple of verses. Finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult for insult. Here, this one's tough for me because I'm really good at some of this stuff, and that maybe not physically evil. Insult for insult, I can roll with people. I'm praying on that one to move away from that. Continuing. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. And that is out of Peter 3, 8 through 12. So there's those qualifiers. What is righteousness? He gives those hints. Like-mindedness, sympathy, loving one another, compassion and humble. Evil's going to happen to us. We're going to run into trials. Our first instinct, right? Fight or flight. I get it. But we're asked to repay evil with good. Now, I don't know if that means right in that moment you're going to just get all nice and soft and repay the good. It might be just being able to smile, not say a word, and turn away. That's fine if that's all you can muster. Because we don't want a sarcastic, well, God bless you. If you can't say it with the right righteous heart, don't say it. So the formula to ensure our heart is righteous and our prayers are heard, again, it's simple. It's a KISS thing again. Show sympathy, love one another, display that compassion, and be humble. Yeah, that's no problem. I got it covered. I don't think so. But just for fun, let's continue. Not repay evil for evil or insult for insult. Yeah, no. Frankie's struggling there. All right? We want to repay evil with blessings. I don't know what that means sometimes. But it might be just stopping and turning and just getting out of there. Because the blessing is just, you're not retaliating. Keeping my tongue from evil, that's a tough one. Because things are always flying out of my mouth. I'm getting better at doing it just sort of on my own, or maybe my wife knows. Not so much in public. Because if so, I probably won't ever drive again or stand in another line at the bank or at KTA or say something when the arrow goes this way. And they're, you know, that stuff. 55, you're doing 35. I don't know. Those things. Okay, I hear some giggles. So thank you. I think I'm at the right group. Hi, my name's Frank. I'm an evildoer. Is that the group we're at? All right, remember, yeah, church is not filled with healthy people. It's filled with sinners and the brokenhearted, and we're here for a purpose, not because we're better, because we're trying to become more Christ-like. But this is a tough list, and I guess I'm not going to be offering up any prayers soon because my heart isn't righteous. That's a high standard. It sounds easy, but can we make it a home for a church and meet that standard? Yeah, we can. Can we get the kids up and ready and online learning and still be smiling? Whew. Parents, love you guys. Can we go shopping and joyously navigate the lines with our mask on, following the arrows, staying 6 feet apart, waiting for the person who's standing there, looking at the same stuff that's been on the same refrigerated shelf for 30 years, opening this door, and you know exactly where you need to go. You're like, you're messing up my time, and I go this way, then that way, I gotta come back, I'm gonna, ugh. Those things. Lord, let's be the tax collector, right? Have mercy on me, a sinner. Have mercy on me. So again, I want to reference Brian Tome and his excellent book for men. Day 49 speaks to this very verse that we covered up in Peter. Brian's crystal clear that we can have a righteous heart taking control over the things that we have control over. I should not be praying for help with my swearing because I have control over my tongue. I should no longer ask for patience and long suffering. I have to ask for opportunities to practice those things. Now, don't let my wife know this, but every now and then I'm like, Lord, I'm just going to go easy and just help me get through this. And the world hasn't ended yet. So I'm getting a little better on some of this patience, long-suffering thing here. There's times I'm fine with it, and then there's times where I'm like, they're doing this just on purpose to piss me off. And I know that's not true in reality. That's how I'm feeling. But I don't ask for patience. I ask for the opportunity to practice patience. And I confess, like I said, I do it occasionally because if I said it all the time, that's all I'd be doing is just sitting in lines, and I'm not ready to just do that to myself yet. But I'm trying to guard myself and limit the circumstances that I might fail and blow the deal. So this reminds me, there was a joke. It's a joke, so I'm going to lead with a joke. So I was at Walmart, and I was standing in line, and there was this old man, and he had his cart. There was a little boy, and he's standing there, and he's like, "It's okay, Johnny, we're almost there. It's okay, Johnny, we're almost done. Yeah, Johnny, I know, it's a long line. We're almost there, we're almost done." And I went, "Brah, that's awesome you're talking to your grandson, letting him know we're almost done. That's really teaching him patience." He goes, "His name's Jack, I'm Johnny." That's me. I'm in my, Frank, they're getting through the line. It's almost done. The blinker's on, they're turning. I hope they're turning. They seem like they're turning. It's almost there, right? It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Yeah. Now, this is not going to stop any of us from praying what's on our heart. Certainly, Father wants to be there and help us no matter what's going on. I'm just proposing that if we want to supercharge our prayer life and see results, we be cautious about praying for something you have control over. Don't ask for the Holy Spirit to come and bless you. He is here already. Claim that blessing and get about the day that you need to get done. Make sure you're doing your part. So let's pivot back to what we ought to be doing. There's got to be a scriptural reference to guide us in a healthy prayer life. Would we agree? There's got to be one powerful reference that pulls it all together and helps us. Do we know where it's at? We should. Matthew. I want everybody to stand up. Everybody stand up. Everybody stand up. Unless the kids or whatever you got to do. All right? Everybody together. Here we go. Pray then in this way. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Have a seat. Yeah, it's a little different. Yep. I learned it, you know. Forgive us our sins as we forgive the sinners. Number four. Give us our daily bread. We focus on the here and now, my friends. Today, this very moment, our daily bread. We're told not to worry about tomorrow, for it has its own issues. This suggests we may be present, focused, and centered. And as I pray for my daily bread, many of the other non-essentials start to go away. They may be entirely unnecessary, a self-imposed burden I was never meant to address or carry. Remember that we take up our cross each day in our commitment to Christ. We should take care to not add anything to it. God will not push us beyond what we can handle in His name. We add things that are never meant to be added. So let's be careful what we pray for, because we may well get it, and then what happens? God might grant us our will, and then we're going to be in a tough spot. All things in His timing and in His plan. And we seem to always be praying for things in this life, and usually out of a genuine but misplaced request related to the circumstance. And I get that. Keep praying. But refocus that you pray for understanding and not a change for the better. For that may not be what is part of God's plan. Pray and ask without ceasing. However, make sure it's qualified through the lens of what Jesus provided. Be righteous. I challenge us to pray for things impacting our eternal life. For it's there that our reward is given, not here. Jesus answered the request of his disciple and gave us the formula in the Our Father. Let us make sure we're avoiding bunny trails of life. Look to being who we are in Christ's image and fulfill our work in service to the kingdom. Before I close, I want to say that I know that folks are hurting and that you need prayer. And we stand ready to pray for you and pray with you if you share that with us. I know people have lost jobs. I mean, and I'm not saying this personally. I know people that have lost their jobs. They've lost their homes. They've lost relationships. They've lost unborn children. And this is the time that we don't pray for not being uncomfortable, but we face it afraid. But we don't have fear when we lean into our Father. So I want to offer the salvation prayer if anybody at this time wants to come to know Jesus and join our family, join his family. If you can close your eyes and bow your head with me. If I could get some background music, Walt, Rich, just something soft, melodic, we can go with this for the moment, then we'll get in and close. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, say this prayer with me, please. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Forgive me of my sins. I receive you, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior. Come live in me, cleanse me, and make me the person you want me to be. If you prayed this prayer and you're here with us, can you raise a hand? If you're out there in Facebook, online, if you said this prayer, please let us know somehow. Contact us so we can be in prayer with you. We ask you, Father, to see the hearts that have rededicated or asked you into their hearts. Cover them and protect them, Lord God, and keep them safe. Show them your way. Let them read John 3:16 to know your love for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Worship team, thank you.
You've been listening to Pastor Frank Castagnetti of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Kau, Hawaii, and on Facebook Live starting at 8:45 a.m. Search Facebook for New Hope East Hawaii. During this phase of the COVID pandemic, we're recommending that people meet online to avoid potential virus spread. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.